Venerable religious and dear parishioners, my inclination always on the first Sunday of November is to talk about the holy souls in purgatory and about indulgences. And this is what I wish to do today, this year. It's wonderful how we have a theme for each month. And I see this as an opportunity to revitalize that devotion which may have waned in our spiritual life. For example, August, the month of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, remembering what a critical part, an important part of the Fatima message this is. Indeed, it's the doctrine of the Church, Mary's Immaculate Heart. September, we think about the sorrows of Our Lady. And then October, the month to renew our devotion to the Holy Rosary, being sure that we pray it on a daily basis, especially as a family in the home. And November is ushered in by the great feasts of All Saints, a holy day of obligation, and then the sorrowful day, the Day of All Souls. In Mexico, it's called Días de Muertos, the Day of the Dead. And we continue that theme throughout the whole month, remembering the reality, the doctrine of purgatory. It is real. And one must go there after he or she dies because one has not sufficiently atoned for all of his sins and faults. And it's not just so that we can help the holy souls. It is one of the greatest motivations for us to live a holy life so that we do not increase our debt in purgatory. Fortunately, we have an easy way to reduce that debt in purgatory. It's amazing how easy it is. Now, if you have read the book on purgatory by Father Shoup, you may have come across, well, I'm sure you read many of those private apparitions or private revelations that were given about the nature of purgatory, the nature of the sufferings there. And we don't have to necessarily believe private revelation, but it would be foolish for us to just have as an a priori stance, private revelation, I don't listen to it. Well, what if it's true? And there's much reason to believe it's true. True, it's not like the Bible. It's not like one of the infallible teachings of the Church. But we would be wise to pay attention to private revelation. And you will read what has been shown to the saints about how terrible the sufferings in purgatory are, how long they last. In one of the apparitions, it was given for one of the saints to understand how long a time has to be done in purgatory for sin. And this is the frightening figure. Based on this one revelation, that on the average, each forgiven sin, 7 years in purgatory. And if a minute in purgatory feels like a year because of the intensity of the sufferings, I mean, what an incomprehensible amount of suffering there is. And my dear brethren, not only all forgiven mortal sins, but every venial sin, every fault even. We commit our faults and venial sins so thoughtlessly sometimes, and yet we are racking up debt. It occurred to me that our tendency as fallen human beings is to run up our purgatory time like we're running up our national debt. How much does America owe in debt? $17 trillion. And if you wanted to divide that up by every family in this country, it would be something like $150,000 of federal debt. And that doesn't even count the future liabilities. We are literally spending ourselves out of our existence. This debt is being passed on to succeeding generations, which they will not be able to pay. I think our own Senate refuses to even pass a budget. It just acts like we will always have money to print, money to borrow. What about the day of reckoning? So just as there will be a day of reckoning financially for this country, there will be a day of reckoning for each one of us. But here's the beauty of what I want to tell you. You can easily get rid of your purgatory time. Instead of having to wear a hair shirt and flagellate yourself every day and do the most severe fasting, the Catholic Church gives us an easy way to reduce and even eliminate all purgatory time. Ironically, this is what bothered Martin Luther the most when he nailed his 95 Theses to the door of Wittenberg Cathedral on October 31st, 1517. He didn't like the doctrine of purgatory, and he hated the doctrine of indulgences. He hated the easy way of reducing one's purgatory debt. Isn't that sad? And it's interesting, if you've ever, not that I recommend it, but if you've ever seen his 95 Theses, in some of them he was saying the truth. These were points that he wanted to debate. And it's true that there were abuses going on. As St. Peter's Basilica is being built in Rome, the Pope did say, if you give a donation for the building of St. Peter's Basilica, which is a sacrifice, right? You're giving your money away. And you go to confession and communion and repent of all your sins, you'll be given, I forget what the exact amount was, either a plenary indulgence or a partial indulgence. And the church never erred in giving us this teaching. There's nothing doctrinally wrong with that teaching. However, there were abuses where in their misguided zeal, to say the least, some preachers said, we're going to sell you indulgences. You know, buy your way out of purgatory. So Martin Luther was correct to denounce that, as everyone should. We can't buy our way out of purgatory. But the church does have the power, if we do good works and repent of our sins, the church has the power, and it's the power of the keys that the Pope has to grant it to somebody here on earth who gives it to somebody in purgatory, so it's either reduces your own purgatory time or reduces the purgatory time of somebody already there. The Pope has the power. And it's interesting to see how at first Martin Luther acknowledges the papacy. He acknowledges the authority of the Pope. He acknowledges the Catholic Church in 1517. He had only strayed in some points, not many points, but within 3 or 4 years, his rejection was complete. He ended up with his poisonous teachings, Bible alone and faith alone. And when you think those are true, you don't need a church. You don't need a pope. You don't need indulgences. You don't need mass. You don't need the sacraments. And so we see this terrible fall happening in Martin Luther's life. He didn't catch himself. And he fell terribly far and hard. And as I said earlier, how sad it is to ridicule as he did, the idea of reducing one's purgatory time. What's wrong with rescuing somebody from burning fire? That's what we do when we gain indulgences for the holy souls. I was thinking about this as I witnessed many of you making the visits for the holy souls yesterday. And of course, that was a special opportunity from noon on November 1st to midnight of yesterday. But even though we can't have that special opportunity, you can still gain indulgences for the holy souls throughout the year. And if you read the sheet available in the vestibule, you'll read, for example, the plenary indulgence that can be gained visiting the cemetery during the octave of All Souls Day and throughout the year. You see, this is the beauty of the communion of saints, that we here on earth can help the holy souls in purgatory. We can reduce their suffering. We can even release them if we do or gain a plenary indulgence for them. We can keep it for ourselves, but in charity, we give it to them. And I was just thinking of all of the good works implied, and I'm just going to talk about gaining those or doing those visits for the holy souls, six Our Fathers, Hail Marys, and Glory Bees yesterday. What does all that imply? First of all, it's an act of faith, right? We don't see the holy souls in purgatory. We don't see what's on the other side of the grave. That's veiled to us. But we believe. We're believing in God. We're believing in his justice. We're believing in the necessity of helping these suffering souls whom we do not see. That's an act of faith. Right there, you're exercising your Catholic faith just by making those visits or any indulgence you gain for the holy souls, any mass, any sacrifice you offer up for the holy souls. That's an act of faith right there. Secondly, it's an act of trust in God. We don't know to which soul it goes. And if it's a partial indulgence we're gaining or something else that isn't quantified as a plenary indulgence, we have to leave that in the hands of our Heavenly Father as to who and how much it's going to help. That's an act of confidence in God. Here, dear Lord, I did this. I give it to you. I know you will use it in the best way possible, even though I don't see the results. It's like giving money to some cause here on earth, and you never know how it will help somebody. You just have this trust that it will be used to help somebody. So an act of trust. Thirdly, it's an act of prayer. Isn't that a good thing? Don't we not pray enough? So yes, you did more prayer than you would have otherwise, and that's always a good thing. Fourthly, it's an act of charity. What does St. Paul tell us in the epistle for today? And if there be any other commandment, it is comprised in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the fulfilling of the law. You recognize the souls in purgatory as your brothers and sisters, as somebody deserving of your love. And so you made that sacrifice to be present, to pray those prayers, as you do every time you help the holy souls. An act of charity. Isn't it the greatest act of charity, again, to run into a burning building, somebody is burning up, and you're able to drag them out? That's what we do for the souls in purgatory. We're rescue workers. Fifthly, it's an act of respect. Who knows, but you may have released your own father or mother or brother or sister or wife or husband. You may have released a pope, a bishop, a priest, or somebody that was considered great here on earth. Isn't that an act of great respect on your part? It certainly is. Sixthly, to gain a plenary indulgence, you have to go to confession and Holy Communion. And the tendency is for many to not go to confession enough, to cleanse the soul of the stains and the filth of sin. We all acquire it, just like our hands get dirty. We have to wash our hands, we have to shower, we have to bathe. If you go a long time between confessions, your soul gets more and more dirty, needs to be cleansed. And here's just a perfect opportunity to go to confession. And may I encourage parents, even though we have confession in the school day, still come up with your children on Saturdays to go to confession, making sure that they can cleanse their souls, be able to receive more often and more worthily Holy Communion. And seventh, to gain a plenary indulgence, you also have to be sorry for your sins. If you're not sorry for all of them, then I doubt the plenary indulgence will work. Because in order to get all of your purgatory time removed, you have to be sorry for all of your sins, you see. And here's an exhortation for us to be sorry. Isn't that something we should tell God over and over and over and again in our lives? Dear Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry for hurting thee. I'm sorry for letting thee down. And not just for mortal sin, my dear brethren, that especially, but venial sin, even our faults. How often do we sincerely apologize to our Lord for how we hurt him and let him down? It should be a hallmark of our life, so that when he calls us from this life, there will not be any sin or fault that we haven't truly said we're sorry for. You have to be in the practice and the habit of often saying this. Again, without that sorrow, that sin doesn't get forgiven. So to gain that indulgence, it's an exhortation to be truly sorry and repentant of one's sins. So, my dear brethren, I want to exhort you as we go through this month of November to become a better rescue worker. And as I just try to outline for you, there are many benefits for doing so. In a sense, more than somebody you help on earth, because it takes that greater faith to help somebody you don't see, but you know by your Catholic faith that you do help them. So this is the time for us to really grow in our awareness of the words that the church takes from the book of Job and applies to a soul in purgatory calling out to us, "Have pity on me, have pity on me, at least you, my friends, because the hand of the Lord hath touched me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.